Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Chedamad Aleph with the new Perek. The new Perek is speaking about the topic that's found in Vayikra Perek of Bet. Sukim there say, Yidaber Shema Moshe Lemor, Shor, Okesev, Oeiz, Kivale, Vayashivat Yamim Tachat Imo, Umiyom HaShmini Vahala, Yeretzeh, the Korban Yishel HaShem. A Korban is not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach until it's cleared a certain time threshold, which is, has to be a minimum of 7 days that have elapsed. On the 8th day, it's allowed to be brought a korban. And then the other qualification, which is what our parak's topic is about, is shor, oseh, oto, ve'et bino, lo tishchatu biyom echad. So when it comes to a shor, oseh, which seems to be a reference to behemot, kshirot, oto, ve'et bino, it and its child, lo tishchatu biyom echad, may not be shechten on a single day. The Gemara is going to discuss the components of the oto, ve'et bino today. What is subsumed under Beno, what is subsumed under the Oto, and what exactly is the restriction and the breadth of the restriction. So the Mishnah begins with a series of refrains that appear in several of the upcoming Prakim that we're going to see, and because of the differences or nuanced differences between them, they list all of them even though they're unnecessary. In this case, there's only one out of the series that's necessary to tell us information. The remainder of the items are obvious, and that Rashi and Tosafot point out, Oto, ved beno, noheg, ben baretz, ben b'chutz laretz. Whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're in chutz laretz, as Rashi points out, that's obvious. The ha'chovat ha'gufi, that's something that is an obligation on the individual. It's not connected to the karka at all, and therefore that information would have been obvious. Bifnei ha'bayit, v'shalo bifnei ha'bayit. Whether the mikdash is extant, whether the mikdash is not extant. So now, you have to understand why they brought this, is really because of bechulin ubimuktashim. That has application both in chulin and muktashim. From the context of the pasuk, you would have assumed that maybe it's only relevant by kodoshim, because the context is shor okesev eiz kivaleid, and then yiretzeh l'korban yishel Hashem. So it sounds like we're in the context of kodoshim, so you might have thought that does not have application by chulin, and therefore, because of that, we brought down all the other pieces over here. Agav, the structure of the Mishnah that's going to be similar in the upcoming halachot, like Veshita Geiz, Rod Chaim Vekeva. All of those have the same refrains over here with the differences between them. But for this case, the only one that's really relevant is chulin umuktashim. Ketzad. So now we're going to bring examples of this. The examples that are brought are 12 different cases. The truth is that there really are, based on the structure of the Mishnah, 16 cases that should have been brought, and we only bring 12 out of the 16 cases. The Baal Yad Tosafot asks, why does it only bring 12 out of the 16 cases? So he says on Pei Amud Aleph, B'chol Hani Detani Yesh Chidush, Ika Lameimar D'Velo Tana L'Hachi Mishom, D'Leke B'Hu Shum Chidush. So the possibility is that all that's written in the Mishnah are the 12 cases where there's a chidush in that case. The other 4 cases, there's nothing exceptional about them, and that's why I only brought 12 out of the 16. V'leke chidush b'kol kani, the Tani, those ones not certain about that answer, and he says, even if there's no chidush on the 12 that are brought, tzarech lomar tani v'shier. Sometimes that the Mishnah brings a limited number of cases and leaves over other cases that you can work out yourself. So it's not bringing all the cases. I sent out a table that brings all the 16 cases and shows the 12 that are enumerated in the Mishnah. And now we're going to go through those that are enumerated in the Mishnah, which is Ashuchet Otov et Beno, Chulin Bechutz. If you have Chulin that's outside of the Mikdash, Shnehem Ksherim, Vasheni Sufeget Arbaim. So if you shecht a parent and child outside of the Mikdash, but it is chulin, which is the proper place to shecht it, then the first animal that shecht it is obviously kasher, because there was nothing wrong with it. You're allowed to shecht the animal. The only restriction in Otov et Beno is the second animal that is shechted. It doesn't matter in which order, whether it's the parent or the child first. Either way, you're chayav on the second one. So the first person that shechted the animal was totally fine, and you have a kosher shechita, and there's no punishment that would be associated with it. Hashoni sofeget ha'arbayim. On the other hand, the second one gets malkot because he violated oto v'et beno when he shechted it. But the shechita is a shechita k'shera. That's the chiddush in this piece over here, because you might have thought that the second shechita should not be k'shera, because of the fact that he violated the restriction of Oto ve'et bino. And Tosfot Jan on Pei Amud Alef says, Safadat Kamina, the mitzvah sheni mishum lo tochal kol toiva. There is a restriction based on the pasuk in Dvarim. And we learn from that, lo tochal kol toiva, kol shiti amti laka. Anything that I said is improper for you is under this restriction. So you might have thought that you're in violation of that law, and therefore it would be restricted or you would not be able to eat it. So the chiddush that the Mishnah is bringing over here is that it is still kasher. It's not problematic in terms of the achila, or it could be based on the machloket abayin rova that we'll see later on in Kodoshim, as to when you do something that goes against the word of the Torah, is your action efficacious? Do we say that when you do something that the Torah prohibits, that your action takes hold, it's just that you're penalized for it? Or do we say that the Torah doesn't recognize your action because the Torah says whatever you're doing is not a valid action? So you could have thought over here as well. That's what Akiva Eger suggests, that the action that you are taking is invalid because the Torah says you're not allowed to shech such a behemah, and when you do it, it's not effective at being a shechita. That could have been the Havamina. The Bahag does say what you suggested, which is you're not allowed to eat the animal on that day, but the Rishonim point out that that Bahag is a knas and not the Ikar Alofa. The reason you can't eat on that day is a knas, so that you don't benefit from the doing the lav. We tell you to wait. It's similar to Kadesh Yasu on Shabbat. If you do a malacha on Shabbat, we don't want you getting benefit from it. So we say you're only allowed to utilize that malacha in the amount of time after Shabbat it would take to complete it. And similarly over here, it would be the same thing. You can only eat it on the next day because your shechita today was improper. And if we let you eat it, then you benefit from it. So in order not to benefit from that restriction, we penalize you and tell you to wait until the subsequent day in order to eat it. So that's what the chiddush of this first case in the Mishnah is. The second case is kodshim bachutz. It's a case where you have animals where the parent and child are both kodoshim, and you're outside the mikdash. Harishon chayav karet. The first one is chayav karet because he's shechting kodoshim bachutz, which is a chayav karet, as we learned back in a second zvachim. Ushnehem psulim. And both of them are pasul over here, because they're both kodoshim bachutz. Ushnehem sukim et arbaim. And they both get malkot over here. The first one gets malkot because of kodoshim bachutz. He's shechting kodoshim bachutz. The second one is not chayav karet, is not subject to malkot for kodoshim bachutz, because we learned the principle when we learned this in Zvachim, that kol shira'ui bifnim, you're chayav for bachutz. It has to be something that would have been a valid korban in the mikdash in order for you to be culpable outside the mikdash. The second behemah is not ra'ui bifnim, because it's already under the rubric of oto ve'et bino. So it's mechutzer zman. You couldn't bring it in the mikdash on that day because the parent was already shechted on that day. Since you can't bring it in the mikdash, outside the mikdash, you're not going to be chayav for kodoshim bachutz. What you will be chayav for is oto ve'et bino. So for that reason, the first one is chayav karet for kodoshim bachutz. He's also chayav malkot for kodoshim bachutz, which are mutually exclusive. We'll speak about that in 1 second. And then the second party is not chayav for kodoshim bachutz because it wasn't ra'oi bifnim. On the other hand, they are chayav for the restriction of oto ve'bino, and that's why the second party gets sofeg et harbaim. He gets malkot. Now the first party, where we said he gets karet and malkot, you have to assume that either that goes against the position of Rabbi Chanina, who believes that kol chayve kritot, if they get malkot, they're no longer chayav karet. So either you have to believe that this Mishnah is against that position, and someone who's chayav karet and gets malkot is still subject to a chayav karet. Or the way that others understood it is, if he's mezid below hatra'ah, then he gets a karet. If he's mezid with hatra'ah, then he gets malkot. So it's two different scenarios, but the first party could be chayav, either karet or malkot, both of them dealing with kodoshim bachutz. The second party is not subject to kodoshim bachutz, but is subject to malkot for oto ve'et bino. Now we have to the third case, which is chulim bifnim. Both of them are chulim, but they're being done inside the mikdash. That's chulim shenishchatu bazara, are invalid. So shnehem psulim. Both of them are not qualified to be eaten because of chulim bazara is something that's restricted. Vashini sofeget arbaim. And the second party gets malkot because of oto ve'et bino. And as Rashi points out over here, chulin bazara does not get malkot because it's not a lav. It is a isur asay. The asay is kirichak mimcha makom. When you're far away from the Mikdash and you want to have basar, you have to shecht it outside the Mikdash. From there you can infer, outside the Mikdash you shecht it for chulin, not in the Mikdash. And that's where the restriction comes from, which is it's an isur asay. An isur asay is an asay underlying it, and therefore there's no malkot for it. So that's why over here the only malkot that are relevant is the second individual because he violated oto ve'et bino. Both of them are sulim to eat, the shechita is pasul, because it's chulin bazara. We're going to see in the Gemara that we're indifferent between one individual or two individuals doing it. Whoever the second party is will be in violation. So whether it's the same person that shechted both of them, or a different person, the second party is chayav. Kodoshim bifnim. So now the fourth scenario, where we have both animals are kodoshim and they're bifnim. So over there, they should have been valid, because they're kodoshim bifnim. Harishon kasher. The first one is totally fine, because it's kodoshim bifnim, and there's nothing wrong with shechting it. Upator, and there's no violations. Hasheni, sofeget arbaim upasul. The second one gets malkot for violating oto ved bino, and it is also pasul, because oto ved bino makes it that it's not a valid korban. When you shech the second one, even though you're kodoshim bifnim in the right place, at the right location, you're at the wrong time, because it can't be brought on the same day, and therefore he will get malkot, and the korban will be pasul. So that's the fourth case. That is the cases that match up everything, which is that both animals are either chulin or kodeshim, and we just changed the venue. Either it was bifnim or bachutz, and those are the four scenarios that we brought. Now we're going to mix and match. Chulin v'kodeshim bachutz. A scenario where you have and the first animal is chulin, the second one is kodeshim, and they're both outside the mikdash. Harishon kasheru patur. The first one is totally fine. It's chulin outside the mikdash, that's where you're supposed to sheft it. There is no restriction on you shefting such an animal. Therefore, when you sheft it, it's kasher, and you have no culpability. Hashini, sofeget arbaim upasul. The second one gets malkot because of oto ve'et bino, but it is kodeshim bachutz, but you will not be culpable for that because of the fact that the first animal was already shechted. This was invalid to be brought as a korban internally because it's oto ve'et bino. Because of that, it is not subject to kodoshim bachutz. You are subject to oto ve'et bino, and clearly it's pasul because you're shechting kodoshim bachutz. Kodoshim v'chulim bachutz. Now we reverse the order. You have first animal is kodoshim bachutz. The second animal is chulim bachutz. Harishon chayav karet. The first one is in violation of kodoshim bachutz. Therefore, he's chayav karet upasul. And obviously, it's disqualified because he's shechting kodoshim bachutz. Vasheni kasher. The second one is kasher, but shnehem sofkim et arbaim. They both get malkot. The first one's going to get malkot because of kodoshim bachutz. This goes back to the same question we had before. How do you have karet and malkot? You have to get the same answers again. Either it's two different scenarios, or it's not according to the one who says that malkot discharged your obligation vis-a-vis the karet. The second one gets malkot because of oto ve'et bino. But the animal is kasher because it's kulin bachutz, and therefore it's a kasher shchita. We do not consider it an invalid shchita. And that again, we already discussed, that is a chiddush, that it isn't invalid. Kulin ve'kodoshim bifnim. So now again, we're going back to a mixed scenario where you have kulin and kodoshim, but you're doing inside the mikdash. Shnehem psulim. Both of them are invalid. The first one's invalid because it's chulin bazara. The second one's invalid because it's oto ve'et bino, and therefore it's not valid as a korban. Vasheni sofeget arbaim. And only the second party gets malkot. The first party's in violation of the isur asay of chulin bazara. The second one is chayav malkot because of oto ve'et bino. The kodoshim are invalid because of oto ve'et bino. Kodoshim v'chulin bifnim. If you change the order, it was kodoshim first, then chulin, but you did it inside the azara. Harishon kasher. The first one is totally fine. It's kodoshim bifnim. Therefore, it's a fine korban upator, and there's nothing to make you culpable for. Hacheni sofeget arbaim. The second one gets malkot because of oto ve'et bino, but it's also pasul because it's chulin bazara. Chulin bazara is a disqualified shchita, and therefore it's both a surba achila and hana'ah. So you'll get makot v'oto be'ebeno, but you also have an invalid shkita, even though it's kulin, because it's kulin ba'azara. Kulin b'chutz o b'fnim. The situation in which you have kulin, that first one you do outside the mikdash, the second one you do inside the mikdash. Harishon kasher. First one's totally fine. Kulin b'chutz. You didn't do anything wrong, upator. Therefore, there's no culpability, and you have a kosher shkita. Hasheni. Now you did chulin bifnim, sufeget arbaim, you're gonna get malkot because of oto ved beno, but also pasul because it's chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, which is an invalid shchita. Kodeshim bachutz, ubifnim, a case where you did kodeshim, both bachutz and inside. Harishon chayav karet, the first one's chayav karet, ishakted kodeshim bachutz, that's a chiyuv karet, ushnehem subkim et arbaim, ushnehem psulim. They both get malkot, and they both are pasul. Now, the second one is pasul because it's oto ve'et bino. And for that same reason, you're going to get malkot for the person who shechted the second animal because it was a violation of oto ve'et bino. Even though it was kodeshim bifnim, it doesn't help you because it's mechutzer zman, because it's oto ve'et bino, which you can't bring beyom echad. You can't bring it on that day. The first one is also chayav malkot because of kodeshim bachutz. And that goes back to, again, karet and malkot. Why is he getting both of them for the same violation? It goes to the answers that we gave before. Chulin bifnim ubechutz. The case of chulin that was done first inside the mikdash, then outside the mikdash. Harishon pasul. The first one is invalid because that's chulin shenishkatu ba'azara upator. But there's no culpability over there because it's nisar aseh. But sheni sofeget arbaim. The second one's going to get malkot because of oto ve'et bino v'kasher. It's chulin bachutz, which is a kosher shchita. So the animal will be kosher, you'll be able to eat it, but you'll get makot, v'oto ve'epino. And the final case here in the Mishnah, kodoshim bifnim u'bachutz, kodoshim that are done, first bifnim, and then bachutz, harishon kosher u'pator. The first one's a totally valid korban, you shecht in kodoshim, in the mikdash, that's what you're supposed to do with them, that's totally fine. The sheni, you're gonna get makot for oto ve'epino, because you're in violation of that when you shecht it. But what you won't be chayav for is kodoshim bachutz with the second one, because it's invalid to be brought in the azara because of oto ve'et bino. Therefore, when you shecht it bachutz, you're not in violation of kodoshim bachutz because it's not ro'oi bifnim. And obviously it's pasul because it's kodoshim that was shechted outside the azara. So those are the 12 scenarios that are brought by the Mishnah. The 4 scenarios that are missing are the case of Kulin bachutz, kodoshim bifnim, which would be a case where if Rishon is kasher, because it's kulin bachutz, and you'd be patur, and the second one where you do kodoshim bifnim, you're going to get makot, v'sofeget arbaim, because it's oto ve'abino, and it will not be a valid korban. The other one that is missing is kodoshim bifnim, kulin bachutz, that order. In that scenario, both of them will be kasher. The first one, because it was done totally fine, kodoshim bifnim. The second one, because it's kulin bachutz. And the second individual will get malkot because he did oto ve'et bino. The other two that are missing are chulin bifnim, kodoshim bachutz. In that case, the first one is pasul upator because it was chulin bifnim, but it's nisar aseh. And the sheni is going to get malkot, but there's going to be no karet because of the fact that he checked that something that was not valid bifnim. So he's not going to be subject to kodoshim bachutz. He will be subject to oto ve'epino. And the fourth case that's not mentioned is kodoshim bachutz chulim bifnim. That kodoshim bachutz, the first one is going to get karet. Ushnehem sulim, they're both pasul because the kodoshim bachutz is clearly pasul. And chulim bifnim is also pasul. And the second one will get malkot for the fact that he violated oto ve'epino. So the scenarios that are absent from the Mishnah are where the permutations change both items. It's a case where both the location as well as the status of the animal is different. So all the scenarios that I gave you that are absent for the Mishnah, it's where one of them is kodeshim, one of them is kulin, one of them is bifim, one of them is bechutz. So all 4 of those permutations in that cases, those are the ones that are absent from the Mishnah. The Mishnah only speaks about a case where either both variables are held constant, or one of the 2 variables is held constant, and then the other variable moves. Either the location will move, and the type will be static, or the other way around. The type will be changing, but the locale will be static. So those are the 12 scenarios that are brought in the Mishnah. What it doesn't speak about, and these are the 4 cases that are absent, is where both variables are not constant, And those are the four cases that I just enumerated for you.
How
do you know that Oto Ve'et Beno is relevant by Muktashim? The Balei HaTosafot say, I really don't understand the nature of the question. The Pasuk, the context of the Pasuk, is in Kodoshim. It's a Pasuk found in Ermor Chavet, just speaking about the validity of animals for Korbanot. So why would you think otherwise? And if Davar LaMeid Min Yano, it would have been obvious that it's dealing with Kodoshim. Why is the Gemara even entertaining the possibility that it would be Chulin and not Muktashim? So Tosafot first brings up a scenario. Don't think that the whole purpose of the Pasuk is for this one scenario. The one scenario would be a person shechted the parent or a child that day, and now it comes to the Korban HaPesach, and he only has one animal to bring for his Korban HaPesach, and it would violate Oto Ve'et Beno. The question would then be, do you allow the Chiyub Karet that's associated with Korban HaPesach, that assay to override over here, and it's Docha the Lotus of Oto Ve'et Beno? So maybe the Pasuk's coming to teach you that don't shecht it. Even in the face of a Korban HaPesach that's a Chiyub Karet, you're not allowed to violate Oto Ve'et Beno. So that would have been uniquely associated with that case, not broadly associated with Kodoshim. The Balei HaTosafot reject that understanding, and then bring a different view here, which is Venira. It's because the Pasuk we're speaking about in the previous Pasuk, Shor Kesev O'Eis, that's the subject of the Sukim. And then it says that you have to wait Shivat Yamim, and then the next Pasuk begins, B'Shor Oseh. Why do you have to stay Shor Oseh? If you just started Oto Ve'et Beno, Lo Tishkadu B'Yom Echad, you would have known that it's associated with the pasuk before, and the subject is already an obvious or deemed the subject. So the fact that it started out b'shor oseh indicates to you that maybe there's something different over here. The mashma l'me'utei muktashim, to come to tell you that this is not associated with kodashim. So the Gemara says, Talmud lomar, shor okesev oeiz kivalei, uchti batrei, b'shor oseh, oto ve'et beno lo tishkatu b'yom echad. We made oto ve'et beno, shoheg b'muktashim. Don't think that the Shor Oseh is coming to be mafsik and to tell you, Chulin, yes, Kodoshim, no, because if that was the case, it should have placed the Pasuk somewhere else. It shouldn't have been found over here. If it's already found over here, in context, juxtaposed to the previous Pasuk, that's already telling you it's in the world of Kodoshim, despite the Hefsek. Mar says, V'eima v'mukdashin in v'chulin lo. So let us say that it's only Mukdashim and not Chulin. Once you've already associated it with the previous Pasuk, the answer is, Shor Hifsik Ainyan. You can't say that because of Shor Oseh. So we're balancing between context, which is telling you that it's relevant by Kodoshim, and Shor Oseh, which is a Hefsek, which was a deemed subject. You didn't need to repeat it. You could have just said, Oto Ve'et Beno Lo Tishkadu B'Yom Echad, and it would have leaned on the subject from the previous Pasuk. The fact that it brings the subject again tells you there's something more than Muktashim here. So there's a balance. Context tells you it's relevant by Kodoshim. The Shor Oseh tells you that it is relevant by Chulin. Where it says, Ve'ema b'chulin in b'muktashim lo. But let us say that it is true by Chulin and not Muktashim at all. Tiv, Vishor, the beginning of the Pasuk is, Vishor okesef. There's a Vav achibur. There's a conjunctive Vav over there. Vav motzif alinyan rishon. Tells you that it's connected or adding on to the previous statement. So now you have the Vav telling you that it is relevant by Kodoshim. If Shor Oseh telling you that it's relevant by Chulin, the context is no longer being used, and that's what the Balei Tosafot say, Ufi Amaskana Tzarech Lomar L'Shum Drosha Nichtav Sham. In the end, you have to say that the juxtaposition, or being in the context of Kodashim, has some meaning over here, where it's placed, because in the end we use the Vav to get you the Kodashim, and therefore context is not the driving force, but rather the Vav that is the driving force, so there must be some Drosha that's associating the two of them. Well, the truth is that the juxtaposition could actually be teaching you that the din of Oto Ve'et Beno is considered to be like Mechuser Zman, and therefore the Mechuser Zman is what disqualifies the Oto Ve'et Beno. The second of the two are disqualified from being a Korban because of that correlation that makes it as if it is Mechuser Zman. The Gemara says, E ma kodoshim kilayim lo, af Oto Ve'et Beno kilayim lo. So now if you're going to tell me that it's relevant in the world of Kodoshim, it should be only relevant in the world of Kodoshim, where something that is Kodoshim would be valid. Kilayim is an invalid Korban, especially since it's learned out of the previous Pasuk, which is Shor, Okeves, Oeiz, Ki Yivaleid. When they are born, they have to be born from a Shor Kesev Oeiz, and not something that is coming from a different type of animal, which is that if you have a mixture between a goat and a sheep, the offspring born to that was kilayim and is disqualified from being brought as a korban. Tosfot says, why doesn't the Gemara just ask, just like kodoshim are not valid except when the bite is extant, maybe the otov epino should also be only valid when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. Why does the Mishnah say, ben bifnei abayit, ben shelo bifnei abayit? Why doesn't the Gemara ask that? So Tosfot says that that's not an issue because even though kodoshim can't be brought today, you can't be makdish animals that are relevant in the world of kodoshim. So yes, you can't bring an animal, but you can't be makdish an animal. In the sense, kodesh is relevant today because you could be makdish the animal, even though you couldn't bring it, then otov epino is going to be relevant today as well. By kilayim, when you can never bring it as a korban, it never is valid as kodoshim. That's the question over here. If it's never valid as kodoshim, maybe otov epino shouldn't have application over here. And the Gemara says, aloma tanya. And if you think ein ochanami, that you're right, the otov epino should not have application by kilayim, we have a braita that says just the opposite. Otov epino nuheg bikilayim ubekoi. That otov epino has relevance both by animals that are kilayim, as well as a koi where there's a safek, whether it is a behema or a chaya. So it has application by both of those. Now, ve'od, in addition to that, sektiv. The pasuk says the word se. V'omer rova, and we have from rova, zibbanaav, komakom shenemar se, inu ela lotzieta kilayim. The fact that it uses the term se in the Torah, that only comes to teach you that there is this paradigm that the word se means exclusively se and not a mixed breed. And therefore, it would be disqualified just because of the usage of the word se. It's very interesting structure of the Gemara. The Ba'od doesn't make so much sense. The Gemara has a statement first that says, well, the juxtaposition of this to kodoshim should just say then only things that are valid by kodoshim should have validity by otov epino. Kilayim, which is not valid by kodoshim, shouldn't have culpability for otov epino. Gemara says, I have a braita that indicates otherwise. Va'od, and then I have a statement from Rava which goes against that braita. The va'od should have been before the braita if you wanted to connect the two together, but they're dealing with different issues. One is saying that kilayim is not relevant by kodoshim, and then saying we should extrapolate that to otov epino. The second question is saying is that kilayim is not relevant by otov epino directly because of the word said that is found there. Now the binyan av that he's speaking about, Rashi claims it's from the pasuk in Devarim, Yudalid, pasuk Dalid, Zot beima shetochelu shor sek savim v'se izim. Since it doesn't write sek savim v'izim, but rather writes seh by each of them, that tells you that there's something's not called a seh until it is either a sek savim or a seh izim, until it is one or the other, not when it's a mix of both of them. That's Rashi's limud. The Bali et Tosafot bring that they think that the binyan av is not from where Rashi says, but rather nire de mised de pesach avid binyan av. That the binyan av comes from the word seh that is written by the korban of pesach, where there it says seh tamim zachar ben shenai yelechem min hakvasim u min haizim tikachu. And there is the limud that teaches us that it cannot be kilayim. So whatever the source is, now you have two statements that seem to indicate that otov epino should not be applicable by kodoshim. The first of which saying the juxtaposition to kodoshim is making it that kilayim should not have application. The second one saying the use of the word seh makes it that it's not valid by kilayim. And you have the braita that's saying otov epino applies to kilayim. So you have a problem. So amar kra, so the Gemara answers that the pasuk says, oh, the rabot et kilayim. Since it says shor o seh, the O is a ribui, and to be merabe it's a kilayim. Where it says, you can't use that for kilayim. Hi O, mi bayile, lechalek. We need that O to divide up the pasuk. The salkadat chamina, because had it not been for the word O, I would have thought, ad the shachit, shorubano, seubano, lo michayev. Had it not written the word O in the pasuk, you would have said, shor v'se, oto v'et v'no, lo tishchatu b'yom echad. It would have sounded like you need to check the shor and its child, and say and its child, and then you'll be in violation. Not if you do each one individually. Kamash v'lan. So I need the O there, l'chalek. So Gemara says, l'chalek mi b'no nafka. We don't need the word O to do the chiluk. We learn that out from the word beno, because the word beno is written in the singular. So we wouldn't have thought it's shor ubeno, se ubeno, because it just says beno, which is a singular formulation. Never you would think you only need one child. Mar says, rakatemi baile, kletanya. We still need it for this braita. Ilunemer shor vise ubeno. Had you written the pasuk without the word o in it, shor vise ubeno, hayit omer. Achiz chot shor vise ubeno. Then you would have to check these three items in order to be chayav. Both a shor and a seh, and then the bo, most likely of the seh, and then you would be chayav oto be beno. So Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, shor o seh, to tell you either one of them, oto be beno. My love, what the braita is telling us, it seems like, is that mi o nafgalei, that the o is what tells you that it's separately shor and seh. Mar says, lo, mi oto. They learn it out of the word oto, which is that the fact that it says v'shor seh oto v'et beno, it could have just said v'shor seh et beno lo tashkatu b'yom echad. The fact that it says oto tells you what everyone said in the first part of the pasuk, the shor seh oto, one of those two, et beno, and its child, you'll be chayav for. So the word o is not what's doing it. You could have written v'shor seh oto v'et beno lo tashkatu b'yom echad, and you would have known that it means either a shor or a seh, because oto is in the singular, and beno is in the singular, so it's either one of them with their child will make you culpable. So we still then have the word o available to us to tell us that in its mirabe, the kilayim. Mar says, that works well, and ikhala rabbonon, dimiyater lehu loto. That works well for the rabbonon who say the word oto is extraneous. So therefore, you can use it to tell you this information, then you don't need the word o to leave the chalik. Ela lechananya, delomiyater leoto. But for Hananya, who says that you need Oto to teach you that the father is also relevant in the world of Oto Ve'et Beno, the Chalek Minale, then where does he know to split it up if he doesn't have the word O? If he uses the word O, then O is not available to me, Mirabe, Kilayim. So the Gemara says, L'Chalek Lo Tzarich Kro. He doesn't need a Pasuk to be Michalek. The Savarla Ki Rabbi Yonatan. He holds like Rabbi Yonatan. This is a machloket all over Shas. Between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Oshaya, what is the function of a vav in a pasuk? A vav can both be conjunctive or injunctive. It could be and or it could be or. So the question is, which of those two is it when it's used in the pasuk? Hananya is going to hold like Rabbi Yonatan, who thinks that the letter vav is or, is injunctive and not conjunctive, and therefore he doesn't need the chalek. If you said shor v'seh, it would have meant shor or seh. And therefore, he would have been fine without any additional language teaching you that. And that's the machloket that we have here. Ish asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo, ein li'ela aviv ve'imo. It sounds like from this that you need to have both the father and mother be cursed in order to be chayav, because it says ish asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo. So both of them, the vav is conjunctive, it's an and you have to have both of them. How do I know that that's not the case? Aviv shlo imo. What about when it's the father without the mother? Or it's the mother without the father, minayin. How do I know you're chayav there? Tamalomar, the end of the pasuk is, aviv v'imo kilel. Aviv kilel, imo kilel, dibre b'shaya. As Rashi explains the drush over here, the pasuk has, ish ish asheye kilel et aviv et imo, motumat, aviv v'imo kilel, damav bo. So as Rashi points out, the beginning of the pasuk has the word kilel juxtaposed to aviv. Ish asher yikalel et aviv, so the kilel is next to aviv. The latter part of the pasuk says, aviv imo kilel, has the word kilel juxtaposed to the mother. From that, Rav Oshaya learns that it's applicable to either one individually, and not just when it's both. But what you see from Rav Oshaya is that the default position is that the vav would be conjunctive and say and, so you need a specific limud to indicate otherwise. That's the view of Rav Oshaya. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan disagrees. When you have a vav, the vav can act as both conjunctive and injunctive and or. It means both of them. Aviv v'imo means both aviv and imo, and it means aviv or imo. Either one of those, either together or separately, you'd be chayav. So now Rashi tells us, then what does he do with the latter part of the pasuk that says, aviv v'imo kilel damav bo? That's to teach you that even after mita, the klala would make you chayav. It's not only when they're alive. So that's what he does with it. Ad shivrot lecha katub yachtav. Until the pasuk tells you yachtav and joins them to say it's only and not or. It seems to be a veiled reference to Lo Tachrosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachdav, that you're not allowed to plow with a shor and a chamor together. So that word Yachdav comes to teach you that it's not shor or chamor, it's actually shor V'Chamor, and V'Chamor in that case is only V'Chamor. You're only chayav if you plow with both of them simultaneously. The Balya Tosafot says that he doesn't think that that's what's meant over here, Yachdav, because we have a specific limud from the word Yachdav that tells us that they have to be bound together. From the Yachdav, we learn that both by Kilayim, Kilei Begadim, the wool and linen have to be stitched together. It's not enough that you're wearing a woolen baget and a linen baget to be Chayav. That's not Kilayim. Kilayim is only when they're intertwined together. And same thing with Shor Bechamor. When you plow with a Shor Bechamor, it's only if you hitch them up together to the same plow or the same wagon that you're chayav. If one is independent or they're not tied up to it or tied together to it, then you're not chayav. So there's a use for the word yachdav. And Balei Tosafot say that the reason Rabbi Yonatan says that shor v'chamor means and not or is not because of the word yachdav. It's a logical argument. In the case of shor v'chamor, it makes more sense to say that it means and not or. And therefore, that's the driving force behind his position. And it's not about yachdav, literally that word, but until it makes sense, or until it's logical to argue that it's and not or. And the yachdav is for a totally different limud. That's the Balei Tosafot would say. Rashi and other places in Shas says yachdav is the driving force for it. Tosafot in all those places criticizes Rashi's interpretation because of his issue with the fact that we learn from yachdav, not just the and, but we learn the fact that they have to be intertwined together. Rashi will probably argue that yachdav inherently teaches you both items. If they have to be intertwined together, then the yachdav also teaches you that they have to be together. Tosafot will say, well, if you're using it to tell you have to be together, then you don't have it available to teach you that they have to be intertwined together. That's the machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to what the yachdav is. So Hananya will subscribe to Rabbi Yonatan's position, and therefore when it says shor visse over here, it would have meant shor or se over here. So then the fact that it ended in the word o is extraneous. Now the word's extraneous, you can use that to be merabe kilayim. For the Rabbonon, they could hold like either party, Rabbi Yonatan or Rabbi Oshaya, and they will learn out the chalek from Oto and Beno. Oto to be mechalek the parents, Beno to be mechalek the children, and the word O will be extraneous in order to teach you the Rabbot et Kilayim. The Gemara now asks, my Hananya, my Rabbonon. What is that machlok between Hananya and the Rabbanan, the Tanya? Oto ve'et Beno, noheg v'nekebot, Beno noheg v'scharim. It's only applicable to females. It's not applicable to males. That's with regards to the parent. With regards to the child, it's no question that Beno means offspring or child. There's no hakpada that it be associated with the female in particular. Whether it's a male or a female child, there is application to it, and it's just, that's the way the Torah writes in Lashon Zechar. The question is the Oto. My time at the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon's reasoning is the Tanya. You would think that Oto Be'Beno has application both to fathers and to mothers. V'dinu, Chiev Kan, over here it makes you Chayav, V'Chiev Ve'Eim Alabanim. And it also makes you Chayav by Shiluach HaKein. Makashi Chiev Ve'Eim Alabanim V'Nekevot V'Lo B'Zacharim. Just like by Shiluach HaKein, it tells you that only the mother is relevant because it says over there, Ayim Rovetzet Alabanim, Tosafot said would not be enough to teach you that information because the mother is the normal bird that is Rovetzet Alabanim. It's just Tibra Tarak connected the normal case. It's just being in a normal situation. He says that the reason it is because it repeats it. It says Shaleach to Shalech et Ayim. So that repetition to say send away the mother, there where it's not necessarily relevant to the Pasuk, the fact that it repeated the mother, it could have just said Shaleach to Shalech Ota. The fact that it says Ayim again teaches you that it's exclusively the mother that's relevant by Shiluach HaKein and not the father. So now, once you know that by Shiluach HaKein, Asher Kichiev Kan, so too over here, it should have the same din, B'nekebot, V'lo B'zecharim. You'll learn it from Shiluach HaKein to over here. Gemara says, Lo, Ima Marit Be'im Albanim, Shekein Lo Asaba Mizuman, Kesheinu Mizuman. Wait a minute, there are certain kulot that are by Shiluach HaKein, which is Shiluach HaKein only applies to birds that you find in the wild. If you are raising birds, and you keep them domestically, there's no din of shiluach hakein. Shiluach hakein only applies to something you chance upon. Ki karelecha, when you chance upon it. But tomar bo dobe beno shasabo mizuman kishenu mizuman. There's no such thing by the case of a dobe beno that applies both to wild animals and to domesticated animals. There's no such difference. So there you have a chumrah by the side of a dobe beno. Maybe the chumrah should also make it that zicharim are also relevant here. Tamalomar oto echad velo bet. Oto is in the singular. Only one of the parents is relevant over here, not both of them. Achar shechileka katuv. So now that we know the pasuk tells you only one of the two parents is relevant over here, zachiti ledin. Now I can bring the din, meaning the limud from Mishiloach HaKein. Which of the two parents should be relevant over here? Chiev kan v'chiev v'em alabanim. Here there's one of the parents is relevant in the din. V'em alabanim is one of the parents. Mach shechiev v'em alabanim v'nekevod v'lob zicharim. Over there by Shiloach HaKein, it's only relevant by the females, not by the males. Up Shechiyed Khan. Over here we already know it's only one of the two. So we're going to parallel it to Shiloach HaKein and say, V'nekevot, V'lo B'nezicharim. V'im nafshecha lomar, if you want to say that that's not a good enough limud, I'll give you another limud. B'no, Misha B'no Karuch HaKarav. B'no means someone that is in the possessive form. Ben Shelo. Ben Shelo means something where it's obvious that the child is karuch after the parent. So Yatsa Zachar, Shein Bano Karuch HaKarav. That excludes the male because the young behemot follow after their mothers, not after their fathers. So you can say that in one of two ways. That can be either the fact that the mother is identifiable by the fact that the child follows after the mother, or the fact that the Ben Shelo, who is the child considered parented by the mother, because the child runs after the mother, stays close to the mother, doesn't stay close to the father. Although Tosafot on the next Talmud says, the fact that you're using the word Ben is enough, because that's the only type of association that we find with regards to animals is between a mother and a child. We don't find any other existing relationship in Tanakh that identifies the father with the child. Therefore, it's not just because it's written Beno. Even had it written Ben, we would have come up with this same limud. The Gemara says, Ma'im nafshecha lomar. Why did you have to tell me this second limud? Why wasn't the first limud good enough? V'chitema oto zachar mashma. Very obvious why the first limud is not so great. You told me oto means one of the two parents. Well, now it means one of the two parents. It's written in the male formulation. It's written in the male formulation. I would have assumed it means the father and not the mother. Hari omer Beno. Misha b'no karucha karav. So that's what the second limud comes to teach you, that the oto, even though it's written in zachar, is not really zachar because of b'no. B'no means the ben is clearly identifiable with that parent. It's not zachar, shein b'no karucha karav. That excludes the zachar where the ben is not karucha karav. Tosfot says over here, if that's the case, why do you need the shiluach hakein at all? Because now, Shiloach HaKein, you could have just argued, is not relevant over here, because it's a chumrah over here, and oto is, would have been a zachar, but now you have beno to undermine it. So Tosafot says, Ve'esh Lamar, Di'ilav chazina b'shiloach HaKein, de'im dafka, have we not found a paradigm by which the parent that was chosen was the mother, we would not have then taken the drasha up of beno karuch hakarav. Beno karuch hakarav follows a paradigm that's already existent, which is mother is relevant. Or in essence, what Shiloach HaKein tells you is that we only have associations between mother and child when it comes to animals in the Torah or in the Tanakh. When it comes to human offspring, sometimes they're associated with the mother, sometimes they're associated with the father. When it comes to animal offspring, they are only associated with the mother, and evidence of that is Shiloach HaKein. Therefore, when you come to Darshan, Beno, we're going to say Beno Karuch HaKarav, that would be the mother that is identifiable as the parent. And again, for both reasons. I mean, that's the only thing that we see as being identifiable, but it could be because of Karuch HaKarav. I mean, that the two might be correlated, which is the fact that it's always with its mother also helps us to say that the mother is the only one associated with the child as well. So once you know that by Shiloach HaKein, that sets the paradigm. That's how you darshan b'no over here. So I need Shiloach HaKein still to teach me to darshan it in that way and to pick b'no karuch hakarav as the guiding principle. Ulechananya k'tiv oto, the mashma zachar. Uktiv b'no, misha b'no karuch hakarav, the mashma nekeva. He darshans both directions. He says, oto means a zachar, b'no means karuch hakarav. So that means Oto means the father is included in Oto Ve'epino. But no, Karucha Karav means the mother is included in this. And therefore he believes, Yilkach Noheg Ben Bitzacharim Ben Bitzacharim Ben Bitzacharim. And therefore he believes that it has application equally to Zicharim and Nikevot. And that's why before he didn't have Oto available for a drusha, because he needed Oto to teach you that Zicharim or fathers are relevant by Oto v'et bino. And for Hanani, Oto v'et bino has equal application to a father and a child, as well as a mother and a child. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Ayin Tet Amud Aleph.